This is the 422nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC. In this episode, we're going to hear from Coach Arthur Smith, linebacker Caden Ellis, and defensive back D. Offert. And we also have a special guest, David Aldridge of The Athletic, to help us preview the upcoming game against the Washington Commanders. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're back here from the break, and we're going to get right to it. We want to hear from Coach Arthur Smith as he gives us an injury update on Caleb McGarry, Calais Campbell, and A.J. Terrell.
You know, Caleb, I think nothing major, but we'll have to see how the week goes along. Calais, same thing. I mean, we got some bumps and bruises, but nothing to report that's anything that should keep anybody out of long term. So, kind of have to see the next 48 hours go and, you know, who's available Wednesday.
All right, the 48 hours will be up tomorrow. We'll get an update. We'll see if Caleb's back. Coach seemed to think that he was okay because he could ride the bike. But, I mean, you know, he likes to wait until he gets his MRIs and so forth. Calais went in him and AJ went in the concussion tent in the game and came out and were cleared to return. So, you know, you never know because Troy Anderson's, you know, we didn't see anything in the game. And then on Tuesday, you know, he came in and, you know, went into the protocols. So we'll update you on that as a coach. You'll have to file his injury report on Wednesday. Now, after the big 21-19 win over the Houston Texans, here's what Arthur Smith had to say about the state of the team after that big win.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is to continue to be objective and improve, right? It's, we know they understand, you know, how hard it is to win in this league. And so, you know, we overcame a lot yesterday. You know, some of the turnovers we got to clean up. Right, the week before we had two picks, and yesterday it was two fumbles. The costly penalties, really in that fringe area, that stopped us from getting points. That the next step is we got to clean that up, and so there's always work to do. You know, situationally, defensively, I thought they played really good. You know, credit to Houston CJ, he made some throws in 2 minute and a half in the end of the game. So there's always stuff. I think is a constant work in progress, and that's got to be our mindset. But we're pleased to get the win yesterday. It was a great team win, but we got to get ready for Washington. They're going to come in here. They got essentially a mini bye, right? They got more time. It's a talented team. We know pretty well. The two close battles with them, we've been on the wrong side of. So we know how good this front is they have, and they'll be ready to roll. They got good skilled players on offense. And so, you know, we're excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to get into a lot of that Washington situation with our special guest, David Aldridge. Now, I counted 10 on deadline, but hey, Desmond Ridder was spreading that ball around to 11 different players. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say about that.
I think that's what you want to do. We don't want to be obvious. So there's risk reward. I mean, sometimes, you know, you try to set something up, you get to a wildcat. It doesn't look very good, but, you know, it's not going to stop us from trying. And we got to be cleaner, and there's things we can certainly continue to work on, but it's but that was as the next step clearly is eliminating the turnovers and scoring more points. That's always going to be our objective. But I think what you saw was a pretty efficient day. Certainly helps the defense. Like you talk about playing team football when you can hold the ball for 10 more minutes. That helps. Again, the biggest thing now is to learn from it and continue to get better.
All right, no doubt about it. We saw the Falcons go to the I formation and run some power on 3rd and 1. And, we celebrate that here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We don't celebrate when they get in empty or get in a shotgun on 3rd and 1 or inside the 5-yard line or on the 2-yard line. That's just not bad. Not good football. If you're trying to go forward 2 yards to snap the ball back 5, and bad things happen. It usually does. It happened in this Washington game last year. They were in the shotgun. Ball got tipped. They lose the chance to win the game. But against the Titans, they got an I formation, put the fullback in there, and ran it up the middle for 2 yards. We almost had a heart attack in the press box. But here's Coach Smith talking about the decision-making process on 3rd and 1s.
You look at numbers, Ledin, and a lot of it is about your matchups, too.
Okay.
What you think we've done well. Like, the plays, the 2 ones that we hit to Tyler, those were set up off that pitch we had to Bijan. Mm-hmm. We just put a different wrinkle in. So that's what the setup was for those. But again, it's how they play, what they're trying to defend. What you think your strengths are, and so that changes week to week. Again, you don't want to be obvious. I think there's one team that sneaks the ball really well. A lot of people are trying that. Looks a little bit different without Kelce and Hurts. People forget how strong Jalen Hurts is. Like I said, there's some guys that aren't as strong as him. Looks a little bit different. Looks a little bit different when you throw an alley-oop to LeBron James and when you throw one to me. So you got to remember sometimes it's player-driven and matchups and what you're trying to do. So we just try to change up week to week, and that's what we did yesterday.
I don't know, man. My sources said Coach had some hops back there in Memphis. So I don't know. Well, I guess he went to Georgetown Prep, but maybe so he had some hops in D.C., but anyway, you get the point. Jalen Hurts is strong, so they don't mind running the quarterback sneak. That used to be your short yardage play. Tom Brady ran it. He's not going to run probably power at Deron Payne on 3rd and 1. That's probably not a good matchup. So maybe the jet sweep. I saw the Raiders hit that. I just can't. I got to get my arms around this new spread stuff that taking the ball away might be a good thing on 3rd and 1. So it goes into matchups. I wanted to know, because something tells him that, hey, maybe I don't get in power with Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen sitting right there in the middle. I probably can't win that. I might want to hit the edge. So that was good. So he's helping us, opening up our minds about short yardage offense there. Now, here's what Coach Smith had to say about Washington.
Yeah, great, great front. Investing a lot in it. Led right, 4 first-rounders. They've already, doubled down on the interior 2 guys and Payne and Allen. Very talented football team. So, when you come off a loss like that, we know they had more time to prepare. They've had to sit with it. We'll get their best shot here Sunday.
No doubt. We're going to get into it. But, yeah, he's expecting Washington to come here in a little foul mood, and we'll figure out why as we move on here. Now, caught up with D. Alford. He's taking over at the nickelback spot. He's coming up and hitting people in the run game, too. Here's our conversation with D. Alford, Atlanta Falcons nickelback.
Yesterday was you probably one of the defensive players of the game. How do you feel everything went for you yesterday?
I feel like everything went pretty good. There's a few plays I could have made that, I gave up a catch. One particular play, but other than that, I feel like I was locked in, focused, and got the job done.
Mm-hmm. And what has it been like this season, taking over that, you were competing for the nickel spot, and now you're kind of taking it over?
I mean, it's been pretty great. I mean, that's the mindset you want to come in, we got a great group of guys. We got guys who can come in and and start behind me, no matter. We just got a great group of guys in the secondary. Mm-hmm. But it's been great being able to take over that key role in this defense because, you know, the nickel position is a huge role in our defense. And it kind of showing when I'm able to, you know, make the plays on the run or in the passing game.
Mm-hmm. And they, with so many people playing 11, y'all pretty much make you a starter, correct?
Yeah, correct, because, you know, 11 personnel, a lot of speed, a lot of receivers on the field. You got to have a extra, you know, DB on the field. And technically, sometimes I play a whole game, and sometimes I might play a team, you know, who run a lot of regular, a lot of big personnel, different things like that. But so far, the lead member coming to passing league, so, you know, it's been a lot of 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like? It looked like Jesse was counseling you, kind of, you know, teaching you the young cat some things. What's that been like for you?
I mean, yeah, me and Jesse got a great relationship, you know, on and off the field. He's a great leader. He's a guy, you know, I just try to see the game as how he see it, you know. Mm-hmm. He one of them guys, you know, who be leading with interceptions, and that's the things I want to do. And he just like to spread his knowledge to the young guys, and, you know, he's a great teammate and a great leader.
And Coach said, you know, yesterday y'all played a lot of coverage, and, you know, sometimes y'all will go and get after people, but how is it feel that they have the confidence in y'all to play coverage?
Oh, it feel great. You know, as a DB, you know, you want to have a coach who can be like, hey, man, we can play man. We know you guys going to cover, and that's the type of grit that we got. We can play man the full game, or we can play zone. We can switch it up. We got a good versatile group.
Uh-huh. And, you know, Coach was, you know, the Canadian League seemed like so far ago now. Are you settled in now to, hey, I'm in the NFL?
Yes, sir. You can say that. It's crazy. I just having a conversation with Jesse. You know, a lot of times I step on the field, you know, I just had to realize, like, hey, I belong here and different things like that. So, yeah, I feel like you can tell the way I'm playing. I feel a little bit more comfortable with myself and, you know, and all that type of stuff mentally. But, yeah, so far I've been doing pretty good. You know, it's always room for improvement, and I will continue to get better and grow as a player.
Any thoughts on Washington coming up? I know y'all got to study and get ready for them and all that.
Yeah, I'm actually about to dig into them. You know, so far they got a good wide receiver group. They got a lot of guys that can rotate in the slot, you know, a lot of different guys, you know. I got to study a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure they're going to continue to do what they do. They got two good running backs, so they're going to try to run the ball a lot. You know, if the run don't work, pass it. And, you know, we got to just study and see the type of route concepts they like to run.
All right, you know, the Falcons pass rush, you know, only 5 sacks, but they got a lot of takedown, a lot of knockdowns, and a lot of hurries to the point where their pass rush pressure number is 43, which is respectable. Some of the best teams in the league, you know, sack-wise, don't have the same pressure number. So it's a different way to look at putting pressure on the quarterback and not just sacks only. So we got that covered in the Cover 9 at 9 blog for you all on Wednesday. But here's our conversation with Caden Ellis. He's the linebacker. The Falcons have blitzed 53 times. They've sent him 18 times. So he's part of that pressure package. And we discussed that with him here on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast.
How's it feel to get that win yesterday and now start moving on to Washington?
Great. I mean, team win. It was a tough one. You know, each phase of our team had its moments, and we were able to kind of put it all together at the right time together, and set Koo up for a game winner.
Mm-hmm. And Coach said y'all were playing a lot of coverage yesterday. How did that work for y'all?
A lot of coverage?
Yeah.
Like different coverages, or
yeah. And the follow up will be about the pressure.
So, I got you.
Covered pressure.
Yeah. Now there was they have a very talented young quarterback, Stroud, and obviously he had been doing some really good things coming into our game and did some good things against us. And we just want to be able to mix the picture up against them and throw out a couple different wrinkles, maybe some things we hadn't showed. And then also, you know, have your bread and butter that you just play really well. So we were able to mix up the coverages pretty well.
You know, pressure, I don't just look at the sacks. I go look at the knockdowns and hurries. And y'all got a 43 altogether with the sacks, 17 and 19 knockdowns.
Yeah.
He said y'all are affecting the quarterback, so he don't want people to get caught up in just sacks. How do y'all feel about the pressure packages when y'all do? I were able to flush them out, and that's what, you know, that counts too.
Mm-hmm. We're really confident in it. Obviously, we've had, maybe not the sack numbers you want, but our third down numbers have been great.
Right.
Our, you know, tons of hits, tons of, you know, getting after him for a couple weeks in a row now. So it's not anything where, yeah, the sacks are going to come. That's kind of the feeling right now is like the sacks are going to come. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's been, I don't know how many times quarterbacks have just thrown the ball away against us.
Yeah.
All the way back to week one to now. So eventually they're going to try to force something, hold on to a little longer, and we'll make them pay.
And what's it like playing behind Grady and David? Because they're getting a lot of pressure out of the A-gas.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, just they're so strong, they're aggressive, they're quick, they're fundamentally sound, they always know their job, so they're just out there flying, wrecking havoc, and it allows us to play pretty fast behind them.
And Nate, last question, he always talks about how you helped him out there. How's he, how have you been able to help him, or he's helped you, or what's that relationship like? Troy out there.
Yeah, you know, the relationship's been awesome. Nate's the type of guy, it's just, you know, when someone goes down and there's a void to be filled, you never know what's coming next, you know what I mean? Obviously, you've seen guys in practices, but you never know what they're going to be like in a game, and just the steady head and the confidence that he has out there, you know, helps me because it lets me know, all right, I don't got to worry about you, I can just do my job. I know you're going to do your job to 100% standard, and you're going to go out and dominate. So it allows me to play fast because he's playing fast.
And D Offer, coach, said he's been playing lights out at nickel. Have you all seen that on
Facebook? Oh, yeah, great coverage. And then, honestly, what's been so awesome about D is, you know, he's a guy that you know is so fast, can go cover and run all these routes with these receivers. But at the same time, he's stepping into the box and coming and filling some run gaps that, you know, it's tough for Nichols to do. And he's not just doing it in a way that's like, oh, I got him down. He's getting some big hits. So it's been awesome to watch.
And just any thoughts on Washington? I know you got to get into your study and all that later, you know, this week. But any thoughts on Washington coming in here on Sunday?
Not yet. To be determined. But I know that our crowd's gonna be ready to go, and we will too.
All right, before we go to break, just two things. We got breaking news today. Falcons traded for wide receiver Van Jefferson. Gave up a 6th-round pick for him, and they're getting a 7th-round and the player back. He's in the 4th year of his rookie contract. So the Falcons thought that, hey, low risk, high reward type situation. If he can come in here and help the passing game, an upgrade at the receiver position, that'd be a bonus for him. He's motivated to play. Contract situation motivates him to play. He wants a second contract, may not be here, but somewhere else. He also was a starter there in the Super Bowl a couple years ago for the Rams. Caught 4 passes for 23 yards in that game. And then also another programming note for you all. Good friend, Gene Jocks Thomas, one of the top writers in Dallas. He's been following around Coach Prime for the last 2 years. He had unfettered access. And you can Google Coach Prime. And his book is out today on all the platforms that you get your books on. So Coach Prime is the title of the book. And my former intern at the Cincinnati Inquirer is the writer. John Jack Smith, he was he's an Ohio State guy. He was with the Dallas Morning News for a long time. That's where he was a columnist. But his book on Coach Prime, the hottest coach in college football, is out today. So with that, we're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 6 months of unlimited access for 99 cents. That's unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're going to introduce our guest today, David Aldridge of The Athletic. Hey, David, thanks for joining us today.
Man, deal. Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, David's currently at The Athletic, legend in the D.C. area. You all know him from his work on various other outlets, ESPN, HBO, all kinds of stuff. Great career. He's a NBA Naismith Hall of Famer 2016. So, David, thanks for joining us today. Can you tell us about the new ownership in Washington with Magic Johnson and the Josh Harris group?
Yeah. Well, the most important thing, Daryl, is that they're not Dan Snyder. That's the most important thing. It really is. Like, are you Dan Snyder? No? Okay, good. So that's all people here wanted to hear, was that he would not be owning the team anymore. And so the runway, the honeymoon, whatever you want to call it, for Josh Harris and his group is going to be, I think, way past a year. I think it'll go well into next year, unless the floor completely falls out and they go, you know, 2-15, which I don't think they're going to do. You know, I think they'll, whether they make the playoffs or not is another story, but I think there's too much talent for them to be completely awful this year. But yeah, I think people are still excited. The honeymoon period is a little less now that they've lost three straight, but people understand that this is going to take a while. I think most people in town, frankly, expect there to be a new coach in here next year, if not a new GM as well. Because that's what Josh Harris tends to do. It's what most owners tend to do when they buy a team. They want to put their own people in. And so whatever happens with Ron Rivera after this season or the front office, I think most people will not be surprised if there's new people in here next year that will take over a team that, again, has some talent but still needs to fill in a few spots.
Yeah, no doubt. We know Ron, Riverboat Ron, from his days in Carolina down here in Atlanta. They used to go do battle, Matt Ryan and Cam Newton, for years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How is that? Well, we've talked about him, but how has Eric Bieniemy been received as the coordinator in D.C.? And it's kind of a bum deal for him. He gets an OC job, and then he's probably, you know, on a one-year tryout deal.
He is. I mean, it's you know, it's interesting with Bieniemy because there's a lot of people in town that are like, you know, why don't you make him the head coach? You know what I'm saying?
right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Josh Harris feels that way or not. I don't. My guess is he can make a decision separate on Ron Rivera and Eric Bieniemy. I think their paths are different, right? Like, Eric Bieniemy can leave after this year. You know, I mean, he can leave and go be a head coach somewhere. I don't, you know, if they, again, unless they totally fall apart, the offense hasn't been that bad. It's been probably better than people thought it would be, to be honest with you, given their limitations on the offensive line. So I think Eric's going to be all right either way. Like, I think that there will be a lot of people who will want him to be the head coach here going forward. He may not want it because there may be better opportunities for him out there. So I think everybody kind of views that differently, kind of puts him off to the side and says, okay, that's somebody we're going to have to deal with at the end of the season. Like, he has options, we have options, right? So I think both sides may have a little bit of authority here to make a decision that's best for them. But either way, I think Eric's going to be fine because I think they'll put up numbers. Hal's going to be a pretty good quarterback, I think, if he doesn't get killed. If they don't get that boy killed by the end of the year, you know, that could be a David Carr situation the way this thing's going so far.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get into that later in the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the 29 sacks and so forth. But so the offensive line is a problem. How is a fifth-round pick, Ritterman, the third round, that same draft? So, you know, they're going to be blinked, you know, at least this Sunday. you know, what are
and
some
Purdy
of the things?
Went in the seventh round.
Yeah, and Purdy went in the seventh. So yeah, and Pickett first. So hey, it's a you know, you got to find your quarterbacks where you can these days.
That's right.
But how is the offense? You know, Gibson's a kid that's from here, and I know they're trying to run by Brian Robinson. Scary Terry's out there. You know he can take over a game. What have you seen from the Commanders' offense?
Well, it's interesting. I think part of what's happened is that obviously with a young quarterback, I think Bieniemy is trying to get the ball out quick, right? You know, because he doesn't want him sitting back there having to go through a third, fourth progression. Just, the line's just not good enough. They won't hold up. So what's happening is there's a lot of underneath stuff. And it's, so the receivers' yards per reception and all of those things are very low. You know, when you look at their talent, you look at McLaurin and you look at Jahan Dotson, who was a first-round pick last year and really has played well when he's been healthy and out there. You know, they've got lots of good receivers here, but they just can't run the full playbook. You know, you can't run four verticals, for example, with this group. You just can't, because he'll get killed back there. You just can't do it. So it's a lot of underneath stuff. We all know coming from KC, he's going to run a lot of screens. They run a lot of screens. And so they are driving the ball. They're putting good drives together when they don't turn the ball over, and that's been a problem too. And unfortunately, Antonio's been part of it. He keeps putting the ball on the ground.
Oh,
I mean, that's just been a problem with since he's been here, is that he makes some really good plays, but then he'll put the ball on the ground. And he just can't have it. And Brian Robinson's been pretty good. They have not been in positions where they could stick with the run, you know, especially the last two of the last 3 weeks where they've got boat race by Buffalo, which was understandable, and by Chicago, which was inexplicable and unforgivable, you know, but you have to throw the ball. This is not a misprint. They threw the ball 55 straight times. They went back to pass 55 straight times. Now, sometimes they had to, you know, Hal had to take off. He ran. Sometimes he got sacked, but he dropped back to pass 55 straight times against Chicago. They did not run the ball the entire second half. They didn't run it once the whole second half. And that's just not sustainable. You can't live like that. And so offensively they've had, but then they go to Philly and they put up 31 and really could have put up 40 pretty easily against a pretty good defense. So, you know, so there's been hit and miss it's been inconsistent, but there have been some good signs there.
Yeah, so the Falcons need the Chicago team to show up and not the one that played the Eagles if they want a dub. But the Falcons only have 5 sacks, so Eric's got to feel like, I might be able to get a bomb off here.
How many sacks Chicago had going into that game? They had
two sacks. Okay.
Washington is the get-right team for the teams that don't have no sacks. That's the get-right offensive line.
Oh, that might be my X factor for this week.
There you go.
Through my game day, I'm making a note of that. Hey, the defense, man, I saw Deron Payne. You know, I love the big guys in the trenches, and especially when they get their money. Jonathan Allen's a stout football player. Montez Sweat, he's from here, Stevenson High, Stone Mountain. And Chase Young, the most hyped Chase Young. That's a pretty good-looking line, even if Chase Young isn't, you know, what everybody thought he was going to be. So discuss their defensive front and how they're trying to make it go on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, the front, again, it's kind of like the team. The fronts had moments where they were dominant. They dominated the first game against Carolina, Arizona, I should say. Mm-hmm. They dominated that game, you know, basically won the game. They didn't get off to a great start in Denver, but then Deron Payne literally ended the series by himself. Like he just, you know, tackle for loss, sack, deflected pass, get off the field, 3-and-out. All Deron Payne, right? So they've had their moments. And even though Chase's sack numbers aren't what they're supposed to be, I'm going to die on this hill, Daryl. He's playing good. He is playing well. He's setting the edge against the run. He is putting pressure on the opposing quarterback. He's not finishing. That's been a problem. Mm-hmm. It's been a problem for him and for Sweat this year. They're getting there. They're just not finishing. And that's, you know, it's part of the problem with this team. But the D-line is not the problem. That's not the problem. They have played fine. The problem is the secondary. The secondary has not been good. They have been awful. Now, they spent a first-round pick on Emmanuel Forbes. We all saw the talent in Mississippi State. We saw him taking things back to the house. We get that. Kid can make plays. but he is lost right now, Daryl. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is getting barbecued out there every week. Ed mentioned last week. And it's just, he's just not, double moves. Everything works against him right now.
He's not tackling.
He's not, you know, and it's typical rookie stuff. I'm not saying he's a bust or any of that nonsense. He's a rookie. Play five games in the NFL. He'll get better, but just right now, it's rough. It's rough right now for him. And Quan Martin, who's their second round pick, literally hasn't played all year because he hasn't beaten out the other guys. He'll play this week because they had to put two safeties on IR. So so he'll play some this week, but it's been that back seven has not, or the secondary in particular, they don't really play their linebackers a ton. But the back seven, the secondary has really struggled. For whatever reason, they're playing a lot more man this year. I guess they felt like their front could get home. They didn't have to blitz a ton. But they've been doing some cover zero, a lot of stuff that, you know, they played a lot of zone last year and they were pretty good at it. So I'm not sure why they're changing up all of a sudden. But there's a lot more man this year and there's been a lot of busted coverages, a lot of just, I mean, Chicago literally had, I think I added up, they had 10 or 11 chunk plays of 12 or more yards in that game the other night. And it was just easy stuff. It wasn't even like they were doing anything exotic. It was just running past dudes and no help over the top and miscommunications, and just the secondary is a mess right now.
Okay. I think Coach Rivera, that's his side of the ball. They'll get some of that stuff cleaned up before they get here for the game on Sunday. Hey, David, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find your work at.
Oh, I'm at The Athletic, daldridge at theathletic.com. Dave, you know, I still write about the NBA a lot, but I also like to write about the DC sports, like the Commanders and the Wizards and the Nationals. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. You know, it's been 5 years. I can't believe it, but it's been 5 years to the day this week since I joined The Athletic, and it's still a good place to work, man. I really enjoy it.
All right, man. Well, congratulations on that. And certainly appreciate you having you on the Bowtie Chronicles. Always good catching up with you. And you take care, Dave, and keep going as long as they, you know, as we old veterans, let's hang in there.
we ain't going nowhere, Dave.
All right. That's for sure. That was awesome. We really appreciate Dave coming by. Good friend. Go back a ways. Had some good times on the NBA beat back in the 90s, covering the Last Dance crew. We were out in Salt Lake together, but I appreciate him coming on our show, the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, to help us get ready for the game on Sunday. The Falcons 3-2 will be hosting the Washington Commanders, who are 2-3. Let's just go over some notes from Washington. So that we'll be ready for the game. You know, they started the season with two wins. They beat Arizona and won at Denver. And then they lost to the Bills 37-3. This is the game that they're pointing to. 34-31 loss to the Eagles. They pushed them into overtime. But, you know, that's a division game. So, you know, they're going to play those guys tougher. And then had to turn around and play the Bears on Thursday night. Bottom kind of fell out there, 40-20. Sam Howell was sacked 5 times, hit 11 times. And Dave kind of alluded to that in our wrap-up of the Redskins, our preview of them. They opened in a 4-2-5 big nickel. I'll go over that personnel later. Got some locals there. And so Montez Sweat, Stevenson High, Mississippi State, Antonio Gibson, Eagles Landon and Stockbridge. Linebacker Jamin Davis, Lone County. Chris Rodriguez, running back from Ola. And Jake Fromm is on the practice squad, former Georgia Bulldog. All right, here, just a couple more notes on the Commanders. Sack attack, the 5-11 against Chicago. They've allowed 29 sacks. So that's where Dave was talking about that offensive line. The rushers are Brian Robinson, 67 for 271. Antonio Gibson, 13 for 54. And then Howes ran 15 times for 101. You're putting the ball on the ground. Eric Bieniemy's not going to trust you, so that's a problem. But 2 years ago when the Commanders beat the Falcons here at the Mercedes-Benz, Gibson caught 14 passes from Tyler Heineke. You know, we cover that whole thing in the Cover 9 at 9 blog. Top receivers, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and Logan Thomas, tight end. They've all got, McLaurin's got 25 catches, Samuel 23, Logan 18. All have scored touchdowns, Logan Thomas 2. And Howell's numbers are, they're making a big deal in D.C. that he's got more yards than the other quarterbacks in the draft that year, Pickett and Ritter, but not Brock Purdy. But he's 131 of 191 for 1,349 yards, 68.6%, throwing a bunch of short stuff, 6-6, and a quarterback rating of 86.1. Now, those four first-rounders that Coach Smith was talking about, De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, and Chase Young. David covered all that. Montez Sweat, 4.5 sacks. And they also have Abdullah Anderson, backup. He backs up Jonathan Allen, according to their depth chart. Now, secondary, I went and did a little work on them today, and I was like, wow, this is they didn't spend a lot of money on the secondary. But Forbes, David covered him. He's the rookie, 16th overall pick, Mississippi State. But the other guys are, you know, veterans, Kendall Fuller, Virginia Tech. He's 28, 2016 draft pick, third round. Benjamin St. Justine's a third rounder in 21. And we'll see how the safety situations turns out. Cameron Curl and Percy Butler started in the Chicago game. So we got all of those guys covered. This one last thing before we get out of here, we just give you a little NFC update, NFC South update every week. And right now, Tampa Bay, they had the bye, so they're 3-1. The Saints are 3-2, Falcons 3-2, and Carolina's 0-5, looking like they got a shot to go 0-17. It's going to be a bad year up in Charlotte. Tampa Bay is plus 16 differential. The Saints are plus 20. The Falcons are living good at a minus 13. They got 2 1-point wins. That's how that happens. And then Carolina is minus 53. And the schedule this week, you got Washington at Atlanta, the Saints at Houston, 2-3, Carolina at Miami, 4-1 Miami, and Detroit is at Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay will get tested by Detroit. We'll see what the Saints can do with Houston after the Falcons edge them out. Carolina's probably in trouble there down in Miami. And the Washington and Atlanta game is going to be a tougher than I think expected game because the fact that they have lost three in a row, giving up 37, 34, and 40 points. And Coach Ron's a defensive guy. So that those things they had a little extra time to get ready for it too. So the Falcons are going to be in for another battle on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Again, we want to thank Coach. We want to thank Caden Ellis. We want to thank D. Alford and our good friend David Aldridge for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast to help us get ready for the game on Sunday. We're going to ask you to take care, and we hope you have a great rest of your week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.